Good afternoon, Hunterdon. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is right here, Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio. I'm Bill Wolfson, and I'm wishing you a good Friday afternoon. It's 5 o'clock. The sun is shining for a change. No rain for the weekend is predicted, so I don't know about you, but I'm going to try to spend as much of it outdoors as I can. Let's take a look at the weather. And we'll get to the weather right now. It sounds like we're going to have a real good weekend. So, and it's about time, isn't it, folks? So let's take a quick look. Got to scare it up here on the PC that we call the magic box. Remember when computers used to be simple? And we used to be able to figure it out. And here it is, the weather. Let's talk about the weather. What are we going to get? Well, right now it's 87 degrees here in Flemington. It's a whole lot better than being in Louisiana right now, where Tropical Storm Barry is turning into a hurricane rapidly. The humidity is 40%. Wind is northwest at 22 miles an hour. Good sailing weather. Tonight's going to be mostly clear with a low of 65, and tomorrow, Saturday, sunny, 88 degrees. Ooh, that sounds nice. Northwest winds, 3 to 6 miles an hour. Saturday night, mostly clear, low around 67 with a west wind of 3 to 6. Sunday, sunny again. Hey, two in a row. With a high of 89, northwest winds, 5 to 11 miles an hour. Good sailing weather. And Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 60. So, folks, get out there and enjoy this beautiful weather. Get up off that couch, as I always say. It's finally summer. It's finally not raining. And, unfortunately, Monday, sunny, high near 86. Well, what could be wrong with that? Well, I have to go to court in Newark. And, to be honest with you, I like to go to court. And I like being in court. But, to be honest with you, I don't like driving in Newark. And having to find a good parking spot. For some reason, that bothers me. The rest of the week is good till Wednesday, and Thursday we get a chance of showers and thunderstorms, and it's going to be hot and muggy. So I think we better grab our fun outdoors while we can, or if you're a lawn cutter, get that lawn cut and get those shrubs handled. So, we've got a lot to talk about on sports. In about an hour and a half, the Phillies are going to be hosting the Washington Nationals. It's the second half of the baseball season for the Phillies, and we don't know exactly what's happening with them. They had a pretty decent run in April and May, and then the typical Philadelphia June swoon caught them. They are now about 8 games behind the Atlanta Braves, and nobody knows where this is coming from. What I'd like to do is talk about that some more, but let's hit a few commercials first.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, as I said before, folks, Phils are hosting Washington tonight, and hopefully they can start turning things around. Remember, they had a good first half until June, and then they had a swoon. Actually, the Phils, I stand corrected, are in third place by half a game. Atlanta's first at 54-37, Washington's 47-42, and Washington is six behind Atlanta, and the Phils are 6.5 out. They are not even, maybe they are a wild card team, maybe they're not just yet. But they're going to start crowding the Mets soon unless they turn it around. I think the Phils' problem is going to be their pitching. I think they ought to be looking at Marcus Stroman from Toronto or one of those other good pitchers who is still under contract for a while. Meanwhile, we have the New York Yankees, who are, of course, tearing it up, starting the second half of the season tonight against the Toronto Blue Jays, who are, despite the fact that they're not playing very good ball, always a tough team. We are looking, of course, at a start at about 7:30. I believe it's at the stadium rather than in Toronto, but let's check that because it's always a little curious to see just what's really going on in baseball. I will tell you, the Yankees are hosting the Blue Jays, and Aaron Sanchez is pitching for the Jays. He's 3-12, no surprise, against Domingo German, who is 10-2, also no surprise. Meanwhile, John Manfreda's Red Sox are hosting the Dodgers, and the Dodgers are going with Kenta Maeda, who will be pitching against Red Sox starter Eduardo Rodriguez, who is at 9-4. The Mets have gotten away, and they are playing in Miami at the Marlins, and Jason Vargas is starting for the Mets at 3-4, and Caleb Smith at 4-4 is taking the mound for the Marlins. First pitch is 7 o'clock. So we've got a lot of baseball coming up. The All-Star game is over. The American League won 4-3. There was a lot of excitement in Cincinnati, but now let's talk a little football. Football camps open July 22nd. That's only 10 days away. So Pat and John, who are not here yet, will have a lot to talk about, and I won't have to entertain you as much. Something really interesting going on in football. The owners are floating the idea in a collective bargaining agreement that perhaps they should play 18 games in the season instead of 16, but cut the preseason games down by 2. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal and another one in the New York Times that talked about this and how the players reacted. And for the players who are making the big money, that's great. They'll make more. But the average NFL career for the average player is only 3.5 or 4 years. And in a given season, there are about 1,200 different injuries that cost each player probably a game or two, except for the ones who are real stars. There have been some discussion, well, instead of playing 18 games, you just play 16 of the 18. Well, that takes a lot of the people that the fans want to see off the field for 2 games, so that doesn't make any sense. The collective bargaining agreement is over in 2 years, and the National Football League, the $12 billion enterprise that it is, thinks that by adding 2 games, they'll make another $2 billion to be spread among the teams. And, of course, it'll trickle down to the players. And they floated the idea to the National Football League Players Association that this kind of money ought to be there to pay for the concussion programs, increase the retirement, pay for things like pensions and stuff like that. I don't know why the football season goes as long as it does. 16 games are all meaningful. When it goes to 18, now you've got a lot of banged up people towards the end of the season. You also have the problem of the rosters may need to get larger, and therefore there are more players and more jobs. So I'm not really sure how these things are going to shake out. But I see it's time for us to talk a little bit more about commercials, although I thought I hit you guys up with all of that already. So let's go and see what we may have left out. Hang on.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You know, the All-Star break in baseball is interesting because it's a chance to step back from the standings and take a look at your team and see what's going to happen the next couple of days. And we know that things get pretty crazy right afterwards, because now comes the stretch run in July. At the end of July is a trade deadline, and July 31st. We'll talk about the trade rules in a few minutes, but who knows? The Braves seem to have pulled it back together, and looks like they're going to go on for another title run. Would have been 2 in a row if they can make this one, but remember, they won 14 in a row from 91 through 2005. With the parity in baseball these days, who knows? The Marlins, well, people are going to start noticing that the pitching is getting better. The hitting, well, forget about it. With the Mets, perhaps embattled manager Mickey Callaway survives the season, perhaps not, who knows. The Nationals are starting to look like a real team again, and that's scary for any team that might try to catch up to them in October. And National League wildcard game win behind Matt Scherzer is theirs, which means they might just advance for the postseason. The Phils, Bryce Harper's first year in Philly should end outside the playoffs. Good thing he has 12 more opportunities. The Phils need some pitching, and frankly, they really do need some relief pitching. In the National League Central, the Brewers' bullpen will finally hit a wall. Josh Hader has kept it afloat, but you know the strain is there, and who knows if they can hit enough to make it worth their while to stay in. It'll be interesting to see who gets traded. In the Cardinals, Paul Goldschmidt is going to wake it up and try to get it going. But, you know, this will be the fourth straight year that the Cardinals are going to miss the playoffs. The Cubs, on the other hand, have the most talent in a so-so National League Central, and they may very well just pull it off. Pirates, well, Josh Bell finishes in the top three, I bet, for the most valuable player. But you think this is going to result in a contract extension? I don't know. I think the Pirates don't make the playoffs. The Reds finish in second place. They've got the second best run differential in their division, despite being in last place, but they're close. And they're going to turn it around. Their luck's going to get better. The Dodgers are going to run away with everything. They're looking better and better all the time. I'm hoping for a Dodger-Yankee World Series, but you never know in this. Cody Bellinger might be the first Dodger position player to win Most Valuable Player since first baseman Kirk Gibson in 1988. Clayton Kershaw won the MVP and the Cy Young Award in 2014, and the Dodgers just get better. The Diamondbacks in the National League West will finally get a taker for Zach Greinke, and they might just make a trade getting rid of their ace, but it won't be as much fun to watch. Giants, are you trading Madison Baumgartner, and where's he going? I think he's going to end up with the Yanks. The Padres, well, who cares? They're way out there on the left coast. They have a guy by the name of Fernando Tatis Jr., who is now their new most favorite player. Who knows where they go? The Rockies may sneak their way into a wild card appearance, but I don't think they're going to get much further than that. In the American League East, we've got the Yankees, who, of course, are my team since childhood. And this is the best team that they've put on the field since 1988, when they won 114 games under Joe Torre's management. Since that time, they've won 100 games five times, which seems fewer than you thought. But on the other hand, hey, it's fun when they hit that number. I think they need 104 to have their most wins since 1998. And while they're on pace right now for 100, I think they could very easily win 110 games. They just have to make sure that their starting pitching holds up. The bullpen is about as deep as it's going to get. And the neat thing about the Yankees is as soon as somebody gets hurt, somebody else steps up. So we have all sorts of cool stuff going on in the Bronx, where I'm from. Red Sox, well, they just don't seem to have put it together this year. It's almost like a good team. They could grab the second wild card in the American League, but they just don't seem like they're even going to get into the wild card the way they've been playing. It's kind of tough. The Rays are looking good, and they might just make the playoffs for the first time in seven seasons. They may end up with an AL wild card lead, which they have right now, but who knows whether they're going to get it or not. The Orioles won't be as bad, even though they're on last year's pace to lose 115 games. They're not going to lose that many games again. They're getting better. They're starting to look like more of a baseball team. The Blue Jays' Vladimir Guerrero is going to get hot enough not only to win the American League Rookie of the Year award, but also to help the Jays avoid their worst record in 40 years. Vlad Jr. Has given some highlights. He can certainly smack the ball. And remember, he was called up on April 26th, and the second half is going to be good. He'll help the Jays avoid losing 100 games for the first time since 1979. The American League Central has gotten more interesting. The Indians, although they were playing well, they've gotten a losing streak at the wrong time. You see what happens to you when you host the All-Star game. I think they're going to be selling at the trade deadline, and that having the sense, the Indians don't seem to be able to get to an American League wild card slot. I think they're going to have to start thinking about next year. The Kansas City Royals, on the other hand, are Steve Balboni's team. He held a record for home runs until Mike Moustakas set a new record with 38 of them in 2017. With Jorge Solar around, Moustakas' record might just last 2 years, as Solar was currently with 23 homers. I think he'll be the first Royal to reach the 40-homer mark. He's strong. He's number 12. He's fun to watch. He's got a great swing. When he strikes out, he just about corkscrews himself into the ground. The Detroit Tigers have fallen on some tough times, and Miguel Cabrera may very well finish above 300 in the batting average. He's not hitting for power anymore, but he seems to manage to still deliver. Only one Minnesota Twins team has won more than 100 games. 1965 Twins won 102, and I predict the Twins are going to take the American League Central crown, but if they get into it with the Yankees in the playoffs, they're not going to get past the Yankees. The Chicago White Sox have always been the Midwest's version of the Philadelphia Phillies, sort of a joke team for many, many years. They didn't make it over 500 last year. It's been since 2012 that the White Sox have even sported a winning record. Maybe next year or the year after, but not right now. I think the White Sox are just going to be one of those teams that everybody wants to play because they just don't have it together to win. Moving along in the American League West, we've got Mike Trout of the Angels, best player in baseball, but the Angels just aren't going to do it, and they won't win a postseason game even if they get into the wild card round. The Astros, good team. Exciting, fun to watch. The guy to look at on the Astros is Yordan Alvarez because he leads the team in home runs. He can hit. He launched a ball a couple of nights ago on June 21st. It was 113 miles an hour coming off of his bat. The Oakland A's are looking for a new stadium, and they're looking to make the AL wildcard game also. Remember how dark it looked the first couple of weeks when they opened in Japan? So if they can hold off the Red Sox, well, maybe they're off and running. The Mariners are not doing well at all, and they're going to have to make a bunch of trades. I think they'll be sellers at the trade deadline. The Rangers have moved out of their old stadium with more optimism than anybody expected. They've got a new they will open a new stadium in 2020. They just don't have enough pitching to make the playoffs. So that's a rundown on some baseball. But let's talk about the trade deadline. The trade deadline is really not actually a hard, fast deadline in years past. But now there's one true trade deadline. There used to be an August waiver trade period, which meant that if everybody waived on a player, each of those teams was behind you in the standings, well, then you got them. But on the other hand, this is now a hard trade deadline. Many teams in the past would improve their team after the trade deadline with the external additions in the trade market. You may remember when Dallas Kuchel publicly complained about the 2017 Astros' quiet July 31st deadline, and they wound up landing Justin Verlander a month later. Some hard and fast deadline. This is when a deadline is not a deadline. Well, now they're supposed to be one. Let's talk about that. Because of the elimination of the August waiver, trade period might be as difficult for some fans as the existence of the August waiver trading period was difficult for other fans. Here's a handy-dandy list so you understand what this really means. First of all, the trade deadline is 4 o'clock Eastern Time on July 31st, just 2 weeks away. The trade deadline is really a deadline now. In this season, no players get to change hands by trade after that date. How different is this? It used to be that a player could be traded after July 1st under one of two conditions. He had to clear irrevocable trade waivers, or if the club claiming the player on waivers worked out a trade with the team that placed the player on waivers. As long as the players were acquired by August 31st, they were eligible to play for the new team in the playoffs, in the postseason. The August waiver period had a funny impact on playoff races over the years. You may remember the Blue Jays acquired David Cone from the Mets after he cleared waivers in 1992. He helped them pitch to their first World Series title. In 04, the Cardinals worked out a trade for Larry Walker, who had cleared waivers, and he helped them reach the World Series. The Astros' acquisition of Justin Verlander after he cleared waivers was probably their turning point in their bid for their first World Series championship. Even beyond what it means to playoff races, the August trade period had a big effect on baseball history. John Smoltz went from Detroit to Atlanta. Jeff Bagwell went from Boston to Houston. Jose Bautista went from Pittsburgh to Toronto. And the Dodgers and the Red Sox worked out a 2012 deal, which more than $250 million worth of contracts changed hands. Who went where? Remember Josh Beckett, Carl Crawford, and Adrian Gonzalez? Guys were moving all over the place, flying all over the country. Can players still be placed on waivers after July 31st? Well, a player can still be placed on outright waivers and claimed by other clubs, but it has to be a straight waiver claim, meaning a new team takes on the player's remaining contract and no other players are involved. Essentially, being put on waivers means you're fired. The team doesn't want you anymore. Sometimes what happens, veteran players on expensive contracts get put on waivers in the hope that the team can shed some salary for the next year. So it's possible you could see some high-priced players switch teams on waivers this August just for that reason. If a player is acquired on waivers between July 31st and August 31st, they're still eligible for the postseason. But if you're not on the team's roster or in their organization before September 1, you can't play in the postseason. So what are the possible effects of this true player deadline now, the true trade deadline? It's all speculation, but one would expect lots of trades the last week of July, probably the afternoon of July 31st up until 4 o'clock. The trades are going to be roaring back and forth. Teams now have to start looking seriously at their roster strengths and weaknesses and their overall ability to get to the postseason. And you've got to do it sooner rather than later because the nature of a deadline is to compel action. So something's got to give. Something's got to happen. So contenders, say, take the Yankees, have to identify and address areas of need as early as possible and identify teams that are sellers because those sellers are going to have to figure out whether they're going to trade somebody who's a marketable player sooner rather than later, and what they need to get back. Teams that wait too long are going to find them swallowing a good bit of salary near the July 31st deadline because often it was the players on heavy contracts that weren't producing who cleared waivers and were moved in August. So the July 31st deadline might also mean more August trades at the minor league level. Veterans with minor league contracts who are not on the 40-man big league roster could see their values to contending clubs increase if there are injuries or other unforeseen circumstances. The key distinction is that it's a player on a minor league contract. And there are a few players in the minors who have major league contracts who are not on the 40-man roster. So some of these guys are not going to get traded, even if they're in the minors and they're on the 40-man roster. What else to know? Worth reminding you that if you're an impending free agent who's traded during the season, that the team that acquires you can't give you a qualifying offer and receive a draft pick compensation as compensation if you sign someplace else. That means a team trying to calculate its trade return for an impending free agent must determine if the prospect is that they're going to get in return is better than getting a draft pick and the associated draft bonus pool money it would get. They give that player a qualifying offer in the offseason, and he signs someplace else. So it sounds complicated. It sure is. And I think it's probably a good time for us to talk about the news.
Where do they hide the news, folks? We know it's here. Floating around anywhere here on the screen.
Well, I hate dead air as much as you do, folks, so let's see if we can't get a better look at where the news is hiding on this system. It's got to be in here somewhere, right? Hang in there, folks. We're going to find it in a second. Everybody wants to hear all the cool stuff, who resigned, who didn't resign, who somebody wants to see resign, and all that other cool stuff. And I don't see the news, so obvious. Oh, here it is. Excuse me.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is visiting Milwaukee, Wisconsin for the sixth time since taking office. President Trump on why he's speaking at an aerospace plant in Milwaukee.
We're here today to celebrate the triumphant return of American manufacturing. You know what they said? It was going to be gone, but it's not gone. It's really thriving, and it's starting to build up at a level that nobody thought was possible. Everything we're doing to keep the assembly lines rolling full speed ahead, that's being done, and we're doing it right. We're proudly defending our most important national resource, the American worker.
Labor Secretary Alex Acosta announced on Friday that next Friday will be his last day. He explains why he's resigning.
I do not think it is right and fair for this administration's Labor Department to have Epstein as the focus rather than the incredible economy that we have today.
This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
And we're back after that brief news break. I'd be derelict if I did not mention that former New York Met Doc Gooden is now in legal trouble again. He got busted for cocaine possession somewhere here in New Jersey. Always liked Doc Gooden as a pitcher. Sorry he's got his problems. You may remember when the Yankees picked him up after he had been released from the Mets and gave him a job because George Steinbrenner wanted to be nice to him. Speaking of the Mets general manager, Brody Van Wagenen, basically challenged the rest of the National League East to come and get us after a season of off-season, series of off-season acquisitions. He now admits defeat. He said he thought the team would be better, but now we've got to be thought of as underdogs. We have low expectations as to what we can be this year. We'll take the underdog role, run with it, and try to prove some people wrong this year and try to improve on next year with being the underdog in mind. As I mentioned before, these comments come just before the Mets at 40-50 faced off with the Marlins down in Miami. It's probably two of the worst teams in the National League right now, and I'm wondering if anyone's going to show up who wants to actually watch a baseball game, particularly on a hot evening in July in Florida. Mickey Callaway, they say, will still be the Mets manager. He's done a tough job well, according to Van Wagenen. Van Wagenen, as you know, recently threw chairs in a tirade with his coaching staff, said, "I'm not typically throwing furniture." You can see that the Mets fans have probably thrown a few remotes from what they've watched on their TV screens. The Mets are going to be sellers at the trade deadline, at least in my opinion, although I don't see them dealing Jake DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard, or McNeil, since these are the core that the team is going to need. Van Wagenen also gave the fans an update on Jed Lowrie, who's yet to get on the field for the Mets. He's a 35-year-old free agent signing. Was signed His left side's now strong, but he's battling a low-grade right calf strain and not playing baseball at the moment. There's not enough of the little things being done right at the Mets, and I think this is a team that's going to continue to struggle and struggle and struggle. So, time for a couple commercials, and we'll get back to talking sports.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Well, those commercials were fun, weren't they? Let's talk about the other team that likes to put the fun in dysfunctional, my New York Jets. The Jets' Chris Herndon has been suspended for the first 4 games of the season, so Sam Darnold's going to be without one of his top receivers. As a tight end, he violated the league's substance abuse policy. The suspension stems from an arrest in June of 18 where Herndon was involved in a 2-car crash up in Rockaway, New Jersey. He pled guilty to driving while under the influence, so he can participate in training camp and preseason games, but his suspension begins after the last game of the preseason. He gets to come back on October 7 after the Jets meet the Eagles in Philadelphia, I might add. The Jets drafted Herndon in the 4th round of the 18 draft, and he formed a good connection with his fellow rookie Darnold, and they showed some good chemistry. Last year, he had 39 catches for 502 yards and 4 touchdowns. So he's an exciting guy. And it seems to me that he's learned his lesson. A drunk driving is a real tough thing to have to live down these days. You're creating a real danger for other people. Somebody was hurt in the accident. So, folks, good reason not to drink and drive. So if you're going to be drink at home or have a designated driver take you home or call a cab, Lyft, or Uber. Drunk driving is not a joke. It's serious. It's very dangerous. People get killed. So be careful on the road, and especially be careful on the road in hot weather. The sun makes you feel more intoxicated than you might think. Meanwhile, the Jets getting closer to the training camp. One of the people that they were talking about is Tremaine Johnson, who's a defensive back. He's a cornerback. He's 29. The Jets signed him as a free agent last year in March. Got 4 years left. He's making $12 million a year. Ooh, a lot of money. He had big expectations because of the contract he signed as a free agent, but he struggled with a quad injury that had him miss 5 games. He only had 4 interceptions, although he did run one in for all the money and a touchdown. He forced one fumble, recovered one fumble, and he defended 5 passes and made 40-yard tackles. His first season, I thought, was a bust, but you know, he got a big contract. He wasn't great, he wasn't terrible, and he got hurt. He only took 4 penalties, but every one of them was memorable. There was pass interference on the first defensive play of the season in Detroit. Good way to start Tremaine. Then he had an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty in Cleveland for shoving the ball into Jarvis Landry's stomach after a 3rd down incompletion. Later in the year, a face mask call against the Titans and a pass interference call against the Packers also contributed to late season losses. In each of those games, the Jets lost. He ended up at season on the inactive list after former coach Todd Bowles sat him down for disciplinary reasons. So he seems like a difficult guy, and maybe he's kind of learned something. He's hopefully going to have a better season in 19. He's reunited with defensive coordinator Greg Williams, who he played for at the Rams, and had his best season there. The reunion should help him improve. He didn't handle the scrutiny that came with his big contract last year. He didn't talk to reporters after a couple of games, and he flipped out at reporters on another day. Hopefully, with the other stars on the team taking some attention away, he might do a little better. But if he struggles, you know, the Jets and the Jets fans are going to expect a lot of him, and they're going to be looking at him carefully. They're depending on him to be the number one cornerback and to shut opposing receivers down. They've got an unproven rookie in Darrell Roberts starting opposite him. So he's under the real pressure to show he's worth his money. The Jets have to make a decision. His 2020 salary will be $11 million, and it becomes guaranteed in March. So if the Jets decide to walk away from after this year, they take a $12 million hit in dead money against the salary cap, but would save $3 million in salary space. It's a lot of dead money, but if Johnson is a headache for new coach Adam Gase, the Jets might just suck it up and take the hit. Meanwhile, we have Adam Gase, who had a message for the team when he first took the job, which was everybody has a clean slate. This even meant Tremaine Johnson. So Todd Bowles, certainly not a bad coach, but had some difficult times with the Jets. Now we have somebody new in Adam Gase. Hopefully they will do well under Adam. I like it when New York football teams do well. On July 11, Walt Michaels, former Jets head coach, passed away at 89. And Walt Michaels was always one of my favorites. He was living up in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. He grew up in Sawyersville in the coal region of northeastern Pennsylvania. And Walt Michaels gave us a lot of fun, including the infamous AFC title game, the Mud Bowl in Miami, in 1983. Always liked Walt Michaels, thought he made the Jets a better team than they should have been. And let's move on. Rest in peace, Walt Michaels. We wish you, your family, well, and our condolences go out to you. We have just a few more minutes to go. We're getting off to our next commercial break, so let's hit that money button.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Folks, anybody going up to one of the state parks this weekend, Spruce Run and Round Valley are open. There's a lot of great places to go. It's a beautiful spot. There is a park advisory at Spruce Run. There is a confirmed harmful algae bloom at the Spruce Run Recreation Area, so there will not be any swimming. Public have been warned by the DEP and the Park Service that they should not drink or have contact with the water in Spruce Run. They shouldn't swim in it, wade in it, or play water sports. Don't eat the fish in it, and don't let your pets drink the water. It's a little scary when you hear about that at Spruce Run, but let's check out Round Valley and see what's going on over there. The recreational area is always a little bit tough, and we have here our second sports guy for the final 5 minutes, John Manfreda. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Bill. I apologize for being late, but was tied up on judicial matters. But it's a beautiful, beautiful day, and I guess it's going to be a nice weekend without any rain.
Finally, no rain, John, after all the rain we've had over the many, many weeks and all the humidity and all the other miserable heat. We're finally getting to where we can actually enjoy a summer. What do you think?
Well, so it seemed. I mean, it was W's here in Flemington yesterday. I mean, it was pouring. I think we had like 3 inches of rain or something. So you never know. You never can predict weather. How about that? There's another sports person calling in. Pat Schmitz, how are you?
Hi, how are
you?
Are you still on the radio?
Yeah, we are on the air, and I'm holding my phone right up to the speaker so our public can hear you, Pat. Well, in the remaining few minutes, I was going to mention Wimbledon, and yes, the great run by the 15-year-old Coco. I think it's pronounced Go. I'm not sure. Golf. And
what about the baseball games in London that we didn't get to talk about?
Well, that's past news. We don't have to talk about those games. I'll talk about last year's World Series or ALDS, but the London games, well, I mean, obviously, folks, as you know, the Yankees beat the Red Sox fair and square in that bandbox in London twice. Bill Wolfson here, my compadre, is smiling ear to ear because his Yankees crowned my Red Sox in the royal realm.
Well, so much for that. But
were those baseball games? I thought they were football games by the score. We shall do that, Pat. Thanks so much.
So, John, let's talk a little tennis. You're over the tennis aficionado around here. What about this nice young woman?
You call me the tennis pro, Bill. I mean, you know.
Aficionado.
Not that would be accurate, but that would be, you know, nice to stroke what little ego I have. But in any event, it's been a very nice tournament, full of upsets, young players on the women's side, which I personally find more exciting. And no, it's not just because I'm Italian, Bill. The women's tennis game is just more exciting to watch. There's 10, 15, 20 volleys back and forth over the net, which you don't get with the men's game.
I noticed with the men, the men seem to want to play a power game and just try to slam it past.
Well, they try to hit a winner every shot. The women play a strategic game, moving the opponent around, trying to hit nice shots that are tough to return, go to the net, and it's just more exciting to watch, Bill.
Oh, I think it is more exciting to watch, too. Well, how about this young lady who's 15 and
a
very promising career?
Absolutely. 15 years old, and like the second or third person in that age group, and just made a tremendous showing that holds good promise for American tennis going forward as the Williams sisters recede into the background at long last. You now have a new crop of young players coming up. But well, this tournament, Hella, I believe she's a Eastern European player, former number one player, is just playing lights out again and looks like she's the favorite to take the crown this year, at least on the women's side. On the men's side, again, it's the same, pretty much the same top players, and they continue their dominance. Djokovic, Federer, Nadal, players of that ilk. You know, every era, Bill, has those guys. You know, you, at one time, you in the 70s, you had Stan Smith. In the 60s, you had Waver, Ken Rosewall. Tennis is a game of legendary players that, you know, tends to dominate from decade to decade. And, you know, into the 70s, you then had Borg. And then, you know, for a while, you had a few other players as well. But you now have, and Pete Sampras, obviously a great American player, but you have two players here, Nadal and Djokovic, who are really, obviously Federer. Those three players are just challenging the all-time record at a time, Bill, when the game is the most difficult, most athletic they are dominating for decades.
Okay, well, thank you for that, John. We've got about 30 seconds left, and we're looking at a beautiful weekend again, folks. It's going to be in the mid-80s. The sun is going to shine. The winds are going to blow. There's not going to be any rain for at least until Tuesday or Wednesday. Folks, it's going to be the kind of weekend where you want to get out and get up off that couch. I will tell you that Round Valley is a good place to go this weekend. The water is going to be clean and safe, whereas at Spruce Run, as I mentioned before, they've got that dangerous algae bloom. So no swimming at Spruce Run, but head to Round Valley if you want to take a dip in some fresh water or otherwise a pool. John, anything else to tell our audience? Because it's 6 o'clock and
yeah,
it's time to move on.
Have a great weekend, and we hope to be back in full swing next week with Pat Schmitz. And for Bill Wilson, this is John Manfreda saying have a great weekend, everyone.
Okay, folks, we're going to go to Rewind. We may end up with a little bit of dead air for a few minutes, but here we go.
Before
Rewind.
And then we'll have the silent and live auction. Okay. With a bunch of great items, and then we'll go into dinner and live music. It's going to be a great evening for everybody.
It sounds great.
A raffle, 50-50 mm-hmm. raffle, everything that goes along with.
All right, and you can get the bowl that Governor Christie has painted with his family as part of the auction, right? That's
absolutely.
Part of the silent auction?
Absolutely.
Okay, now, during that time, I imagine you're going to have some type of setup there that's explaining
before, and then we'll have the silent and live auction okay. with a bunch of great items, and then we'll go into dinner and live music. It's going to be a great evening for everybody.
It sounds great.
A raffle, 50-50 mm-hmm. raffle, everything that goes along with.
All right, and you can get the bowl that Governor Christie has painted with his family as part of the auction, right? That's
absolutely.
Part of the silent auction?
Absolutely.
Okay, now, during that time, I imagine you're going to have some type of setup there that's explaining more about America's Grow Rope.